Okay. All right, the gifts of the Spirit. The Greek word for spiritual gifts is the word charismata. Charismata. And that's where you get the word charisma. So when you think about, did y'all see the apostle just walking through here? When you think about a person that's charismatic, or those are Greek words for spiritual gifts. But to each one of us, I want to read that in New King James, Ephesians 4:7. I'm going to try to get done before the kids get back, because peace and quiet will be gone. Ephesians 4, chapter 7, the Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And so, okay, Josh, I got you. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. "But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Verse 8, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." So each of us as believers have gifts. We have gifts through Holy Spirit that Jesus gave us. Those gifts vary according, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit divides to us severally as he will. Now, here's the thing. You can be just as gifted as you are yielded. And this goes right back to the parable of the talents. There's some people that will give God 10 minutes a day, and they have a gift worth 10 minutes a day. But then there are some people who will give God their all, and to those people, God will add to them, add to them, add to them, and he will add. It is our obligation as Christians, as believers, to discover our spiritual giftings, to develop our spiritual giftings. And I would venture on to say, too, that not only has the Father given us spiritual giftings, but we also have natural giftings. Some of us can speak. Some of us can teach. Some of us can walk. Some of us can run. Some of us can fix cars, computers, cook, whatever. You know, God has given us these gifts, natural talents to live life with as well. So knowing and using your gifts will give you an understanding of how unique you are and how indispensable you are to the kingdom of God. Now, when I find people that have an issue with who somebody else is, those are always signs of low self-esteem. Those are always signs to me that a person has not tapped into the full measure of who they are. Because once you realize who you are and the vastness of the grace and the gifts of God that's planted inside of you, you can't help but to appreciate what the Lord has put inside somebody else. So when you find people that pick or, you know, have issues with who you are and who God called you to be, those people have issues within themselves, that because they have not developed who they are, they have problems with who somebody else is. So pray for those individuals. But we have our own responsibilities to know what our gifts are, to use those gifts, and to use those gifts to bring glory to God, to help other believers. They're not just, there's a song somebody made years ago, "What God has for me is for me," and that may be right some of the time. But God blesses us to be a blessing to others. He told Abraham in the beginning, "I will bless you to be a blessing." So those of us who are truly blessed are blessed to the point that we can pour out. David said, "My cup runs over." You're not blessed if you only have sufficiency for yourself. But you are blessed when you can pour out, when you can give somebody wisdom, you can give somebody a talent, you can give somebody a boost. Then you're blessed because you have enough to share and you have something that you can use to help somebody else. So, again, your spiritual gifts are ultimately given to you to bring glory to God, not to make you rich or to make your name great. Those things may come along with it, but that's not the ultimate goal. The gifts of the Spirit for the believer is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 14. It is really hot in here. An apostle said that those gifts that God gives us makes us full, and that's what completes us as a body. When you're in a church body and everybody is functioning and operating in their gifts and talents, you know, there is just such a bursting of energy. There's a bursting of activity taking place because everybody's functioning in their stuff. It's almost like all wheels on the tire are full. They're running. They're good tread. The legs are moving, the eyes can work, the ears. You know, everybody's moving and functioning the way that God designed them to. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 14. What did I say? 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 14. The Bible says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Okay? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, we've got gifts. We're going to use them differently. We're going to cultivate them at different times in our relationship with the Lord. But they all come from the Lord, all to glorify God. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, when God gives us a grace gift, when the Spirit of God is manifested in our life in tongues or manifested in our life in typing or whatever that thing is, it is for us. And Jesus is the motor. He drives the car. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and I have wisdom there. Is it possible? That's Yvonne, that's Josh. Josh has issues with his computer. We're going to pray for him. That's
Yvonne. We're going to lay hands on Brother Josh's computer.
All right. So, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Listen to what verse 11 says. But all these work the one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And I said that earlier. As much as we are yielded to God, then the more that God can trust us with these gifts. Some people God can only trust to walk from their front door to the mailbox. That's it. But there are some people that go with God all the way, and God can give them these nine gifts. They will operate in it. They will bless others with it. They will bless the kingdom with it. And God will be greatly glorified. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Talk about baptism into the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been all made to drink to that one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. So, very important things to understand about those gifts, those grace gifts, those anointings of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Again, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, spiritual discernment, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Some people have one, some people have three, some people have all nine. They are available. The Bible says that the Spirit divides severally as He will. Okay? So let's look at that. Spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities and capabilities provided by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of building the body of Christ. Okay? God uses these gifts to enable the believers, you and me, to do the work that He's called us to do. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So the gifts of the Spirit are our equipment used to fulfill the purpose and the plan of God in our life. These gifts, warning, come without repentance. When God He's not an Indian giver. Once He gives you something, it's yours. So, it is our responsibility to walk humbly before the Lord, to remain submitted. God is not going to do this stuff for us. And this is why you find a lot of psychics now, because they truly do have prophetic giftings, but they have refused to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. They're yielding to the second heavens. They're yielding to the dark realm, the evil kingdom of this world, the prince of this world. And those prophetic giftings are still working. They can still tell you truth, even though they are in error themselves. So you must be careful. Those gifts come without repentance. Gifts are given, but fruit must be grown. And we'll talk about, I don't know if we'll get to fruit, but we'll see. Gifts are given, but you have to grow your fruit. You've got to cultivate the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the temper. That's your job, okay? So always test that gifted person. Test them by the fruit. Jesus said you should know the tree by their fruit, all right? So test the Spirit and know them which labor among you. Let's define the gifts of the Spirit. Then we're going to break these nine gifts down a little bit and talk about them in depth. The gift of wisdom is a supernatural enablement to help the believer make decisions. And it also gives us guidance according to the will of God. Wisdom is a sensation. It is an urge. It is a word from God about a situation that you about a problem. Wisdom solves a problem. If you have a problem in your life, you need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is a supernatural word, a supernatural message, a supernatural imprint in your mind to come help somebody else overcome a situation that they're dealing with. The gift of knowledge is equipping a believer with divine knowledge that they could not have known. You know, many times in ministry, many times in prophetic ministry, God may give you a word of knowledge. He may say, he may make reference to a family member. He may make reference to a situation on the job that that person ministering to you could not have known. It is a word of knowledge. It is the knowledge of God that has been supernaturally transferred to the person ministering to you to give you information about something that they could not have known. The gift of faith is the ability to trust God and to encourage others to trust in Him in their most dire and contrary circumstances. There are some people who have the gift of faith. When they pray with you, they make you feel like you can do anything. I mean, when you get done, when they get finished ministering and encouraging you, you feel like you can knock a wall down. I mean, you just feel invincible. You feel like there's nothing that you can't do because that person with the gift of faith is building up your faith. So the people with the gifts of faith are very important in the body of Christ because without faith, you can't please God. The gift of healing is the compassion of God. To heal others from physical, emotional, and spiritual afflictions. A lot of times when you hear people say, I have a healing ministry, they automatically think about Benny Hinn and they think about wheelchairs and crutches. Well, praise God for that, but there's also emotional healing. Some people are scarred. They're scarred from issues from their childhood. They're scarred from issues in marriages. They're scarred from issues in life, and they need emotional healing. These people are angry. These people are bitter. These people are hateful. You know, they are emotionally bound, emotionally sick. And so God has healers in the body of Christ gifted to bring healing, to deal with those people's problems, and to help them come to a solution. And then there's, of course, the spiritual affliction, which is demonic. People with deliverance ministries are also healers. They heal people of sin sick diseases. They heal. When Jesus went about healing, many times he healed, and as a result of the healing, as a result of their deliverance, their healing took place. So healing, emotional, physical, and spiritual are all interconnected, and it's all a part of the healing grace or healing gift upon a person's life. The gift of miracles is the ability to perform and cause supernatural signs and wonders that demonstrate and confirm the word of the Lord. Okay? The gift of prophecy is the ability to see and hear into the spiritual realm and convey that message to others. The gift of discerning of spirits is the supernatural ability to ascertain whether a message or a messenger is truly sent by God. It is the ability to see into the realm of the spirit. This is where you see people, that people see angels, people see demons, they see manifestations on people, they hear people's thoughts. Those persons have the gift of discerning of spirits. The gift of tongues is the ability to speak in a foreign, human, or superhuman language without prior training or experience. Speaking in tongues is not just the angelic or the heavenly tongues, but there's also, you can have the gift. I heard one preacher went to another country, never spoke the language a day in his life, opened up his mouth and spoke the language in their tongue. In the book of Acts, it was the foreign human language that those apostles spoke in. They didn't speak in the heavenly language like we do. The Bible says they were able to speak, and others from different towns and countries heard the gospel preached in their own native tongue. So it's important to understand that speaking in tongues is not just, you know, shando, but it's also the ability to speak by supernatural divine utterance in somebody else's language to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the gift of interpreting tongues is the ability to convey the message being revealed through tongues to edify the church. For example, someone may be speaking in tongues. Church may not understand what's going on. So someone may say, let's praise God. Or someone may say, it's time to pray. Or you may hear another person say, it's time to go to war. So they're able to pick up, they're able to hear that sound that person is speaking in the spirit, in tongues, and they're able to interpret it. You can't translate it, But you can interpret it. And when I say that, I mean by this. You can't say, well, she said, he so and so and so. You cannot translate a heavenly language. You cannot translate a heavenly language. But you can interpret. You can. God is pleased. God wants to bless his people. Or the Lord is angry. Or God wants us to come to the altar. You know, we can interpret and feel God's heart through the sound that the person, sound of the language that the person is speaking in. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed as the Lord deems necessary. The gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit will determine the ministry that we've been called to. Now, here's the key. A lot of people don't know who they are in Christ. Well, I don't know if I'm a prophet. I don't know if I'm prophetic. I don't know. Very simple. What gifts do you have? What is it that you're keen to? What is it that you pick up on? Well, I see demons. Well, more than likely, you're called to deliverance, which means you have the gift of healing. Well, you know, I hear God speaking and I give people messages. Then there's a prophetic gift. Doesn't mean office. We're not talking about fivefold office. We're talking about giftings. Someone else may say, well, I can speak different languages and I don't know where that grace comes from. I never took Spanish or French. Then that person has the gift of tongues. Another person say, well, you know, when I hear people worshiping in tongues, I can hear sounds or I can hear this. They have the gift of interpreting tongues. So just by virtue of the gift that you have, it will give you the it will give you the basis of what type of ministry that you're called to. Because, again, we're many members. Everybody's not prophetic. Everybody's not in healing. Everybody's not full of faith. We all work together. So we bring those different parts together and we make one whole. So while it is important to seek the Lord to determine which spiritual gifts belong to you, it is unwise to seek a gift just because you want to be popular or because you want to make profit off of it or because you want to compete with somebody. God is not answering prayers like that. If you want a particular gift, the Bible says covet to prophesy. You know, that's a gift that God, matter of fact, the Holy Spirit came. He said, Prophet Hosea said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So that's available to us, but there's still many people that are not tapping into that. Everybody should prophesy, but it does not mean that they're a prophet. But they should have prophetic giftings and be able to hear God's voice and convey the message to the people. You were born with your gift. The closer you became to your assignment in ministry, the more mature your gift became. In other words, when you were a child, you had certain supernatural abilities. They were, you know, very, you know, you may not have used them much, but you may have had a lot of dreams, or you may have seen different images, or you may just always had compassion on people, or you always want to encourage people, come on, we can do this, we can do you, that. Those things were there. You were born with that. The Bible, Jeremiah gave us an example. He was born as a prophet from his mother's womb. And I also believe that the gifts and things that we have, we were born with it. But it's our obligation to cultivate it, to tap into it, to dig into it, develop it, and work it for the Father. The more you yield yourself to God, the more mature you will become and the more needful your gift will be. In other words, the more God can trust you, the more of a demand he will put on your gift. Other people will pull on you, but if God can't trust you, then you will keep your gift between you, your cat, the dog, and the squirrel that's living in your attic. Because God can't trust you, there's still things in your character, and if you're trying to receive vainglory, you're trying to get rich off the gift, ain't nobody got time for that. Praise God. So the Bible says your gift will make room for you. You don't have to do that. God will do that. So your gift is given for you to use to advance the kingdom of God, to bring people into the body of Christ. It is supposed to be used in the church. Your gift is not to use out on the mountaintop screaming by yourself. We are a body. We work together. I don't ever see a foot on I-85 by itself. You know, when I see a foot is attached to a leg, which is attached to a hip, which is attached to a torso, we're connected. So whenever we see these body parts in the body of Christ that are all over the place, hands over here, head over there, you know, we need to come together because God is not, does not have, his body is not chopped up. He's whole, praise God. So those gifts are to be used in the church to build the body of Christ. Now, they won't just be used in church, but they're supposed to be used in a corporate setting. The gifts of the Spirit, all spiritual gifts share the same value. That's very important. Just because somebody's prophetic and another person is a demon chaser doesn't make one more important than the other. We are, there's no respect to persons. All of our gifts are just as important. Praise God. They may differ in importance, but they don't differ in value. Certain gifts come with more honor than others. And the scriptures that I won't read that is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 26. Now, the mature believer can possess all nine gifts as it is in proportion to the function of their ministry. Excuse me. The Spirit of God knows whom to bestow upon which gifts and will take from the one who has the least and give it to the one who has the most. And we know the parable of the talents. The Lord is for that. The Father loves industry. The Father loves faithfulness. All believers should work together as one body, that all gifts are functional at all times. All gifts are ruled by the master gift of love, which is found in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And I love how in 1 Corinthians 12, he talked about all of these gifts, and then he said, hold up, let me tell you about love. So you cannot do these things without love, okay? And the next slide here, these are the final two slides, the gifts of the Spirit, 12 principles. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, at least one. I've read that, I think, in Romans, where, I don't remember now where it is, but we all have at least one. We all have received a grace, at least one grace, from the Father through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7, Ephesians 4:7, 1 Peter 4:10. Many believers have evidently received more than one spiritual gift suited to his or her God-given ministry. Whatever your gifts are, they are compatible with your work in the kingdom. Spiritual gifts may be given at the moment of regeneration, which may lie dormant. Like I said, they can come from birth and come alive when you're saved. Or they may receive it through a gradual process. You can receive gifts through the laying on of hands. As you mature in the things of God and those over you in the faith see the need to impart certain gifts, then they can do that. Spiritual gifts can be abused and neglected. Consider the Corinthian church, who are very gifted but very immature. Spiritual gifts are not the same as the gift of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts and Holy Spirit are two different things. Okay? Spiritual gifts are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. And we won't get into that, but we'll talk about that later. Spiritual fruit is produced from within. Spiritual gifts are imparted from without. All right? Fruit relates to your character. Without your fruit, your gift, don't nobody want to hear you. If there's no love, no long-suffering, nobody's interested. Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. Unlike the natural abilities which everyone has from birth, spiritual gifts belong exclusively to believers, and God will awaken those things in them in Christ. And our last slide for tonight, all Christians are called to a ministry. All of us have ministry. The Bible says many are called, few are chosen. We are all called to do a work. Whether we respond to it, that's a different story. But not all of us are called to an office. The Bible says, are all apostles, are all prophets? No, God doesn't need 10,000 million trillion apostles. You know, apostles have their place, prophets have their place, and other believers in the body of Christ have their place. So let's stay in our own lane. You will only be successful in the place that God has planted you. Offices are humanly recognized and appointed by the spheres of the ministry within the body. So the deacons, the elders, the evangelists, teachers, they are appointed. As God gives the utterance to the apostles, to the prophets, as we've seen in the book of in Acts, they would pray, and the Holy Spirit would say, separate this one, send that one, send that one. It would always come to the apostles and prophets. But we've gotten so far away from the Word of God now, people go to school and get a piece of paper and say that they're called. But nobody has mentored them. Nope, they're not submitted. They're just out there roaming around doing God only knows what. Some spiritual gifts are more desirable in the church than others because they result in a greater edification. For example, prophecy is one. Everybody wants to hear God loves them. Everybody wants to hear God is doing a new thing. So the Bible says, covet to prophesy. Desire that. There's nothing wrong with that. Get into a place where you can seek God to bless you with that gift so that you can be a blessing to others. In terms of the gifts of the Spirit, this is no place for envy or boasting. It's not our gift. It's God's. We didn't do anything to deserve it. It's just His grace and His mercy that saw fit to bestow these things upon us. So every member of the body has a special place in the kingdom. Every member in the body has prominence. I think in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talked about, you know, about the least, what did he say? 1 Corinthians 13, 14. It's between 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. I don't want to prolong the teaching, but at any rate, he talks about how we're all important. He was talking about the members of the body and how they all are important. And I can't place my hands on it right now, but if you're interested in that, you know, go back and look that up. It's either 1 Corinthians 13 or 14. And when gifts are used, when you're using your gifts and when I'm using my gifts and everybody else, their gifts, then the church can receive grace from God, a treasure from the Lord. The people can be delivered. They can be set free because it's almost like a buffet. Everybody likes a buffet because there's salad, there's fruit, there's meat, there's dessert. Everything is there. Everything is available. It's not just a pizza parlor where you just get pizza and that's it. But when there's a church body that's full of grace gifts, and everyone is operating in their gift. You've got faith. You've got healing. You've got emotional. You've got prophecy. You've got tongues, interpreting. When you have all those things working together, then we can build up the body of Christ, and we become one strong man in Christ. That's going to conclude the teaching tonight. We just finished up.